Of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Mm-hmm. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, right between Oasis and Pine Grove Avenue. And they get everything you could possibly want for John Deere. Just give them a call. They got tractors, mowers. They've got a full line of electric mowing, California-approved mowers, handheld. They've got it all up there. Go up and see them or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
Okay, so you can find everything about the program at wethepeopleradio.us. And that's archives going back into 2010, I think, is when we started this this little adventure, and on a lot of different topics. We've done enough shows on marijuana, China, environmental stuff, government and national security, veterans, South Africa, Islam, and the transgender issue to have like tabs at the top for those shows. So if you're, you know, you don't have to necessarily scroll through 14 years of archives. That sounds a little daunting. The pages do not just have sound files on them. They actually have all the information about our guests. They have anything that they spoke about. So if they have written, I was speaking with someone yesterday, for instance, about the marijuana issue, and we were talking about the chromosomal anomalies and all the things that are caused by that usage, whether it's edibles or smoked or whatever you're doing. And all that guy's research and paperwork is on the page with his program. So we've tried to make the archive really, really user-friendly. It's free. You can do whatever you want with it. You can download anything you, for whatever reason you can't download it. I can email you whatever it is you're after. And so there. I don't really explain that well enough exactly. Today is March 24th, 2024. We won't be playing any more Irish music today, I'm sad to say, although it is still March.
And that's a bunch of blarney, I'll tell you right now.
I still had some malarkey up my sleeve from last week. Yeah. And I'm sorry.
Always lots of malarkey.
So there's lots of malarkey in my sleeves. Sorry, I was sick last week. Still sick this week, as a matter of fact. But I will try not to sound like Marge Simpson, and I will work really hard to make more sense. We have our guest, can you imagine? So we have our guests back from last week because we just ran out of time. There was just too much to talk about. Claire had issued there was a warning report issued regarding possible Islamic attacks in the U.S., and I've posted that on there. Dr. Lyle Rapaki had forwarded that out as part of Sentinel Intelligence Services, and I said, hey, well, let's get you and Claire back, you know, on the show. We love having you guys on. So I did a terrible job on her bio last week. I just did a terrible job, actually. It was like read by a child. So
I didn't want to say
it was
anything.
It was really bad, actually, the worst ever. And so I thought I'd do a better job this week. So Claire Lopez, she's terrific. She's the founder and president of Lopez Liberty LLC. They have a mission to alert Americans to national security threats, both international and from the Islamic movement, the Muslim Brotherhood, and their Marxist collaborators in the country. She supported former acting ICE director Tom Holman and Tom Trento at Defend the Border, United West, and was an instructor for John Guandolo, that's what got me last week, his Understanding the Threat, quote, into action, unquote, program. Their online National Security Academy. In mid-2023, she offered expertise as a national security advisor to U.S. presidential candidate Bishop Jackson. She's also a senior advisory board member and director of the U.S. Geostrategic Security Issues for Near East Center for Strategic Engagement. Served as an advisor and mentor to Special Forces students in the fall of 2020 for DoD courses. From 2014 to 2020, she served as the VP for Research and Analysis at the Center for Security Policy. And in 2016, was named to Senator Ted Cruz's presidential campaign on his National Security Advisory Team. She has done tons of stuff. 2013 to 2016, she served as a member of the Citizens Commission on Benghazi and continues as a member of the Citizens Commission on National Security. Formerly VP of the Intelligence Summit, she was a career operations officer with the CIA, a professor at the Center for Counterintelligence and Security Studies, executive director of the Iran Policy Committee from 2005 to 2006, and has served as a consultant instructor, intelligence analysis, and researcher for a variety of defense firms. She was named in 2011 Lincoln Fellow at the Claremont Institute. So she's been on the Congressional Task Force on National Homeland Security, worked on the electromagnetic pulse issue. And for those of you that have listened to the show for a while, she was always connected with, and I don't know, we might have connected to Dr. Peter Vincent Pry through her. I can't remember how that worked, but they were close working colleagues. So there's always much more about our friend Claire, and I have all that posted, but at least I didn't butcher it this week and have to bail out early. Our other guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, he's a frequent flyer. He's a frequent enough flyer that he has his own tab at the top of the top of the page, just because we've done a million shows and it got to be kind of cumbersome to list them all. So if you're interested in border security, all those kinds of things, Dr. Lyle Rapacki is a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. Since June of 2010, he has provided select members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. He also receives, analyzes, and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement, intelligence, and governmental communities. He's the author of dozens of white papers, bulletins, and briefings, many of which have received distribution to and by local, state, and federal law enforcement, also intelligence and public safety agencies. He's the owner of Sentinel Intelligence Services, which carries out these functions, as well as provides consultations to elected officials in and out of Arizona and clients in industry on threat potentials. And I'm going to kind of skip down here. He is most privileged to provide intelligence as a watchman to the Christian community nationally and to write regular commentary for various online Christian publications. Lyle's also the host and commentator for the nationally viewed Arizona Today, which is viewed by 1.4 million people and growing. He's the author of the booklet Our Forefathers Truly Appealed to Heaven. And I have a link to Our Forefathers Truly Appealed to Heaven. And there is a link to Arizona Today, but in case you are not online or whatever, the website is Arizona, the number two, the word day.com. So Arizona, number two, day.com. Oh. And
I just want to say, if I'm ever a guest on a radio show, my bio probably won't take, you know, more than about 15 seconds. But,
no. I felt kind of bad, but you know what? There was a lot of information, and
yes,
last week
is.
I did such a bad job. And we haven't had both these guys on for a while altogether, so I just thought it was important because the credentials do count. We have a lot of people these days. I couldn't even quantify for you how many that are just basically shooting their face off, you know, on topics like this and pretending to be experts and just making stuff up. So I want you to know, these guys are not shooting their face off. They're not making stuff up. And the information you get will be valid, provable, and should be heeded. How about that? So, huh, my part of the show is over now. Lyle, Claire, where would you two smarty pantses like to pick up?
Well, let me just say, Claire's the really smart one. And what I do is I take most of her work and I copy it.
Yes. I forgot that. I'll add plagiarism to your bio.
No. Totally with absolutely happy for him to do it.
Oh, so not the Harvard professor plagiarism, the other kind?
Not that kind.
Oh, okay.
No.
But I've done it so long now, it doesn't even matter.
We just call it plage.
No, she's like a really smart person. I just along for the ride.
And
hey,
she's
I don't
funny,
know what
too.
Y'all want to talk about. Say again?
And funny, too.
She is.
Yes.
I don't know what y'all want to talk about today. I know we got carried over, or whatever the word is. Claire was really describing, and very appropriately, what's going on with the Hamas and all those bad guys coming across our border and into the United States and what it means. I think that's really critical, especially with what's happened this past week in Texas with the rush to the border and the overcoming of the National Guard down there. Everybody's probably seen those photos, the film. There's, from the reports that I'm getting, there appears to be an increase in aggressive behavior coming across. They either realize time is limited or like Texas is really beginning to firm up its border, and so they're really trying to push it as fast as they can. Arizona and California, Southern California, are basically wide open. And there's not, I will just tell you, there's no plan afoot by the governors in either state to do anything. Nothing. They may say, we're concerned, there is nothing taking place to copy or even close to what Texas has done. And this is a national nightmare. Tom Holman, former director of ICE, was on my program a couple weeks ago. People can go on. Thanks for mentioning that, Aaron. They can go on. And one of the things that Director Holman and I talked about was the northern border coming in from Canada. Nobody's talking about that. And he said the same thing, and maybe Claire has some intel on that. But there's coming across the northern border into America very similar straits as to what's taking place on our southern border. The southern border's getting all the attention. Nobody's even paying attention to the northern border. So America is clearly, in my opinion, under attack. This was well planned, well, if you will allow me, rehearsed. In other words, put on paper, put together in a format. We talked about last week near the end of the show how people are being flown across the border because there was so much attention being placed that they, to mitigate that, what Biden and company, Obama, have done is they've flown people into central parts of America and then released them there. And that is still going on. So don't know where you want to go this week. Claire and I were talking right before the show about what's taking place in the Middle East, especially in Gaza and Israel, because that war is still taking place. Biden and company are trying to stop it. They're trying to get Israel to back off. Claire can speak into that far more clearly than I can, but this is just really sad what's happening to the United States of America as we lose, in my opinion, again, and Claire may have a different professional opinion, we've lost our position as a world leader, bringing peace and safety and all of that to the world. We're in enough trouble within our own domestic borders here. And we can barely keep that going, much less get involved in Ukraine and all these other ventures, and it's just sad. So,
well, I'm sure, Lyle, you saw the video last week of the migrants crashing through the wire and knocking down our National Guard and basically bull rushing our border and getting through to the wall. Boy, if that doesn't wake people up as to the magnitude, and still, I don't know that any extra precautions after that were taken to stop that from happening again. That was unbelievable.
What was interesting, Bill, is that you're right. They crashed through the border, and the National Guard, they ran over them, basically, if you'll allow me that. the National Guard down there is not armed, by the
right.
way. And so that's even a double problem. But they ran over the Constantine wire and the National Guard, and they ran right up to what? The border that Trump built, and they couldn't get over that. Now, I found out later that there were some passageways that they were, the National Guard was told to let them in. But I thought that was hilarious that they ran over the temporary border that was put up by Texas, hooray for the Republic of Texas, and then they came up to the border wall that Trump built, and they couldn't do anything. Very ironic.
Yeah,
no kidding. Guys, let's take a really quick break so we don't have to interrupt on our next part here. Our guests are Claire Lopez and Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Show. Lyle knows that. Big show.
A really big show.
A really big show. All right. Back to where we were.
I shared with Claire that thanks for letting me open by saying that, because I also had some emails from people who listen to your show. I think there's two people who listen to your show last week.
There are three.
That will cost me. I know that will cost me. But they said, we're really glad that we the people are holding you and Claire over for another show because we're very interested in what's taking place with Hamas and all the different countries coming into America. We're under attack, and nobody's really talking about it from that standpoint, and both of you did. So we're hoping that you will pick up on that. And so I said to Claire, I started this way, and you guys were very gracious to allow me. But I think Claire also has tremendous insight from last week, well, she does anyway, but from last week as to what's taking place as Hamas and all the rest of the bad guys are making their way into the United States here.
Yeah, so I'm very glad that we're picking up on this, and especially because during this last week, of course, the entire country and probably a lot of the world, saw that exclusive video footage of those illegal alien men mm-hmm. rushing, our border, bowling right through, the Texas National Guard there, who were not numerous enough to stop them. 100 of them and maybe what 20 or 25 of the border guys trying to do their very best, but up against 100 or more they couldn't. And then, just as Lyle said, though, they're on U.S. soil at this point. Mm-hmm. But then after they got through the line of the border patrol the Texas line there, they came up against the very tall barrier, not the wall per se, but the fencing, the fencing barrier that runs like, I don't know, 20, 30 feet high. But the point here is that they were already on U.S. soil.
Yeah.
And so what that means is that they had to be processed. Yeah. And that's where what Lau was saying about an opening in that tall metal wire fence comes in here. And they got to come in. They got to come in, they claim, oh, I'm claiming asylum. Who knows where they're from or what their background is? Well, nobody really cares in the Biden administration anyway. Texas cares. We care. But Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, sure doesn't. I'm sure they're already in. And the NGOs are probably waiting with their great big white buses to transport them wherever the United States they want along the way, which they picked up, you know, some nice new clothes and shoes and backpacks and those debit cards, you know, that are reloaded every single month.
Yeah.
They get debit cards. Those debit cards are reloaded with hundreds of dollars every single month.
Sorry.
Once, even before, but then after they enter into the United States, to also then receive all their free health care, education, and everything else that is housing that is handed out to them for free, dispensed by the NGOs, non-governmental organizations, like Catholic Charities is one of the worst offenders. So is HIAS, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, another one, but there are others. And all of them, of course, funded by the Department of State, which is, of course, our taxpayer dollars. So, yeah, look out for some new neighbors coming to a neighborhood near you. And thanks to that Venezuelan guy who appeared on videos we saw last week, too, letting everybody know that if they can find an empty house, they've got squatters' rights, you know. They can just move in and nobody can evict them.
That's right. A couple of things Claire said, and I rarely get a chance to add on to Claire because she's so again, I still haven't figured it out, Claire. 12, 14 years we've known each other and worked together on things. I thought about it during this week, actually. I thought, was it 12 years, 13, 14?
It's got to be, yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time. The cards that they're given like Visa cards, and we're not being funny, or I'm not. And there's anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 tax-free, by the way, placed on those cards. And like Claire said, every month they're renewed automatically. And that's for their own use. Now, that's not counting housing, medical, and the list just goes on and on and on. That these illegals from 160 nations are receiving, besides clothing and all of that. So this is really quite a scam that has taken place. But it goes back to what we were also discussing last week, where I think that's how I met you all, Bill and Aaron, again, 10 years or 12 years ago, when I was speaking on Agenda 21. And at that time, what got me more nationally known was here in Arizona, the Arizona legislature, several members were beginning to raise funds on their own. And I'm not being funny. They weren't doing car washes, but they were working on raising a border wall for southern Arizona. Now, this was 10, 12, 14 years ago, and long before there was any real controversy. And they could see what was coming. We all could. What I did is I wrote a report, and I sent it very quietly to very key members of the legislature, the chairman of judiciary, chairman of Homeland Security, chairman of, you know, stuff like that, maybe four or five individuals. And what I said to them is, you're not going to be allowed to do this. And here's why. And I outlined Agenda 21 very briefly. And then I outlined what the Obama people were going to do. They were not going to allow you to build this wall. It was going to be a big problem. Well, that didn't go over well. I was not well received in doing this. But a certain senator, Judy Burgess, who Claire and I know very well, Judy wrote me and said, would you come down and see me? And that's what began the ability to teach certain legislators what exactly is Agenda 21, because they didn't know. I'm not making fun. Very few people actually knew what it was at the time. And so that began the process of taking a look at what is the final game plan according to the elites. And the final game plan was to, and is to, collapse the United States into the New World Order, where there's a global community. We mentioned it last week briefly. What we're seeing right now along the so-called border is that game plan being worked out, and it's not going to stop. There is no interest by Biden and by Obama and Soros and others to even slow down. In fact, if anything, they're trying to speed it up because there's only 6-7 months until the election. And there is concern that Trump will get reelected. And when that happens, he will bring everything to a close. And that's another show. Do I really fully, thoroughly, completely, 100%, without doubt, believe there will be an election? I don't know, guys. Claire might very well take a different opinion on that. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But there are plans afoot to create a national crisis that would suspend the elections and not allow it. Likewise, I don't know if you've seen the reports that have just come out this week. A number of so-called Republicans in the Congress are resigning. What they are is basically uniparty people. And this will give the control over to the Senate, to the Democrats. And they are planning on not endorsing or authorizing the results of the election, if there is an election. So there are plans afoot that seem very conspiratorial and goofy, if you will, just like a movie made. But they're very real. They are petrified that Trump could get in. They're petrified of the American citizens waking up and taking back the government.
Yeah, I will add to that that two very important resignations from the Republican side of the House of Representatives include Representative Mike Gallagher, who heads up the special committee on China, supposedly investigating China and the CCP, the PLA, and the SARS-CoV-2. The other major resignation coming early, in the middle of this year, in June, is the Speaker of the House, Representative Mike Johnson. And that brings the Republican margin of majority in the House down to one. So, no, they're not losing control of the House, but their margin is now down to one member. And because these two are resigning at the dates that they're resigning, instead of finishing out the session, instead of finishing out until the end of the year and the election, they're resigning in the middle. It hamstrings the ability of the Republicans to hold a special election to replace them, meaning that their districts are going to sit empty of representation until November's election, actually until January 2025. And the new House. So that's extremely damaging, and one can only wonder why these two, Gallagher and Johnson, have done this, or are doing this. It's reprehensible.
Mm-hmm. If I was Johnson, I'd just want to get out and be done with it. I mean, he's at the, you know, he can't win. He got foisted in there.
Yeah, but he's stabbing the Republican Party in the back on the way out.
I guess. I think sometimes people are just humans, right? At some point, you look at it and you go, okay, I don't know.
I mean, you know, remember the tumult that preceded his final, ultimate election to be Speaker of the House this past January.
Yeah.
And by June, meaning 6 months, he's going to quit?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was widely known he wouldn't be able to. I mean, there were things they could have gotten done last September, but I mean, it's obviously not our topic today, but they Gates blocks votes to bring votes to the floor and then tells everybody that they wouldn't bring the votes to the floor. Couldn't bring the votes to the floor because he blocked the rules votes to get them to the floor. So then, of course, we have to get rid of the speaker, and then that turns into a big fracas, and Johnson was just a last man standing. Poor guy, he didn't want to do it. He didn't have the years of experience that it takes. You know, in order to negotiate all these deals, you can't just come in off the street and do it. And he's not able to make it happen. Now his own guys are eating him. So I don't know. It's a bad no-win for him. Unfortunately, he's a nice man.
I mean, the Republican Party is self-destructing in front of our eyes, is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody wants perfection. If it's not perfect, you can't.
Well, we'll just take competent.
Yeah, you can't do it, and you know. So we had a small crew of people that wanted things that were not possible, and demanded it, and they were willing to burn the house down for it, and they did. So I guess as long as that takes place, the other 215 people are kind of like, they're stuck. This wasn't everybody, right? I mean, this was a very small group of people. So, I don't know. It's that's what happens. You get ideologues in there who want what they want, and they want it, and there's no sitting down. There's no looking at, okay, well, let's see. What do we have? Like, let's spread it all out on the table, right? Figure it out. So, therefore, we're getting nothing, and we're getting rolled. So, all the stuff you're talking about can't get fixed. It's terrible.
One of the things that Claire and I mentioned last week was our good colleague, Todd Bensman. Todd is in Texas.
Bensman?
And he is nationally known for his reports, his intel, if you will, on border and border security matters. He's on Bannon quite a bit, and actually probably some other news media, at least when they were interested in the border. But Todd is a very good guy, and Claire can correct me if I say something wrong. But
I second that, absolutely. He's a terrific journalist. He's also a senior fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies. And if that's not enough, he's also a professor at a university campus of Texas University.
That's right. I forgot about that. The last, but one of the things he just wrote this week, I saw it in a little article he wrote, was, and I'm quoting it now, our politicians know that certain specific actions are the ones that are needed to secure the border. The problem is not a lack of knowledge, but a lack of political will. Too many of our elected leaders have selfish reasons to let the border crisis continue, no matter what their constituents demand. I think that's a big part of it. We do not have the leaders. We have people who get into office, I think, local, county, state, and federal. It's a great, quote-unquote, job. It's got some good benefits, and it really speaks to their egos. What I don't see anymore are very rarely do I see people who are servant leaders, people who come into public office, no matter the local, county, state, federal, believing they've been called to do so, and they're not making it a career. Our founders never wanted people in Congress, the Senate, the presidency to be a career. If you remember, they wanted George Washington to run again after his second term. And actually, they wanted him to run until he died. And you can go back and look at the history. And he said, no, two terms for the president. Well, then in the Senate, you know, they made it 6 years, and in the House 2 years, and that's another show as to why they did it that way. But the idea was never to have these people come in and stay there 50 years.
But see, they're not electing themselves, and they're not electing each other. So they built term limits into the Constitution, and we called them elections. And so the fact that their constituents keep sending them there is not their fault. It would be the people in their district's fault, right? I mean, I think sometimes we forget how they do stay there. And for current stuff, you know, most people are mad, you know, oh, Nancy Pelosi is going to be in there again. And this isn't the first time I've said that on this show. But honestly, if you don't live in California, you might not know his name. But there's a guy named Scott Wiener. And you just can't make that up. But Scott Wiener is the guy that puts forward all the transgender bills in California. He's a really bad guy. And he's the guy who will run when Nancy Pelosi steps away. And that district will elect him. So, you know, this year, in a really strange way, we were all celebrating the fact that Nancy Pelosi was running again, which seemed crazy. But then you look at the alternative, and that's being done by the voters. I mean, until the electorate really gets with the program, that problem doesn't get solved.
Well, it kind of begs the question, how bad does it have to get before people say enough's enough and stop putting these people in office? I mean, that's really the crux of the problem.
They love these people. I mean, we all love to hate, you know, the Adam Schiffs, the Maxine Waters, all those, they win by massive margins. And the people in their district think they're great. People in other districts want to vote them out, but we don't live there. So it's like,
The weird part about this, I think I told you the story, didn't I, of my my contact at the Freedom Fest in countryside of Virginia a couple of years ago when busloads came down from New York. I told you that last time, right? Or the time before?
How about this? We have to take a really quick break because I blew that off. And when we come back, tell us that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that story again.
Because I don't remember if you told us or not. We will be right back. Our guests are Claire Lopez and Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the price we pay in this treacherous game. It's a treacherous game. I won't be a pawn, a sucker for these lies. But I know when an angel is the devil in disguise.
Every night and every day now, never meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean. While they while away the hours in their ivory towers, till they're covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine. Whoa, la 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 la.
The old games people play. So, speaking of games people play, Claire, tell us about that.
Well, I talked about this on maybe other other shows, but perhaps not this one. So, a couple of years ago or so, a girlfriend and I were meeting up in the beautiful Virginia countryside near Manassas, Virginia, at the Bull Run Park, site of Civil War battles. And they were holding there a Freedom Fest, and they had a stage with red, white, and blue flags and bunting all over, and there were speeches and music, and it was great. And they had some food trucks, so I got in line, and we all got to talking with each other in the line waiting for the food. And I spoke with a woman ahead of me who had just come down that morning on a bus with others from New York City. And that was the summer, the year prior to, I think this was a couple years ago, the mayoral elections in New York City. And at the time, Eric Adams, who is now the mayor, was running, the mayoral race was on. And so I was asking her about New York and how people were thinking about the race and the candidates in the race. Curtis Sliwa, law enforcement champion, was running against Eric Adams. And so I was asking her, you know, how's it going up there in New York with everything that's going on, with all the lawlessness, the crime, the homelessness, the drug use, all of that. How are people thinking? And she said, you know, it's crazy. But she said she lives in New York and she'd leave if she could have, but she had a job up there that she couldn't leave. She said, it's crazy. You know, people will step out of their doorway in the morning. They will climb over the dead bodies. They will walk around the poop and the pee and the needles all over the sidewalk.
Wow.
And they'll go straight away and vote Democrat. And I said, but how could that be? Don't they realize that the elections have the consequences that they're seeing outside their door? Yes, yes, but it doesn't really connect for them. They can see all the consequences, all the negative, you know, aspects of, it's not just New York City, it's all over California, as we're talking about that state too. But it doesn't matter to them. They are so wedded ideologically to their allegiance to the Democrat Party that they will just simply ignore, you know, all the negative consequences of their own votes and just keep on doing it anyway. So don't expect, frontal cortex thinking from amygdala people who rely on the limbic system.
From amygdala people. There should be some sort of a, you should make shirts.
See who gets it.
Or maybe signs, amygdala crossing, amygdala people crossing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about emotional responses that completely bypass the frontal cortex, which is rarely, if ever, engaged.
Claire, let me ask you, since I'm a co-producer on the show, I was promoted by Pape Machinery to do that. Well, I didn't mention to you, Bill and Aaron. I that's something that just happened because they liked so much the way I handled their tractors that they said we're getting. Yeah, what? Go ahead, Bill.
It's not that kind of show, Lyle.
Yeah, that's a new one.
I made that kind of sound dirty.
Yeah.
I'll probably get a letter on that.
I knew that'd stop him.
Anyway, yeah. Pape will go, wow, we need to talk. Claire, let me ask you, what do you, and I'm not setting you up, you know, I love you as a sister, and we go back, but what
be
do
careful,
you
Claire, when they say that take, they're really doing it.
Huh?
Be careful, Claire, when they say what? They're not setting you up, they're totally setting you up.
Keep going, come on, Lyle.
Oh, my, what do you think it would take to get people to change that? And let me preface it by this. One of the things, and you mentioned it at the top of the show, Claire, one of the things that's already beginning to happen, and I think a key word is beginning, is the squatters issues. What we're finding are people coming across the border, of course, illegally. They have nothing and other than what the government gives them, the United States government. And they have this sense of righteousness about them, and they are taking over properties, even if the property is occupied. And then
that's because the laws in those places permit it. That's why.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The laws permit it. The laws enable the squatters with legal rights.
So I'm wondering what would happen if a judge's home or a chief of police home, or a city councilman's home was taken over by these people.
Well, obviously none of that would happen because they're very well protected, but, you know, the ordinary citizen peons' homes are not.
Okay, so let's go there. Based on what you said from New York, and I believe you, I'm not arguing with you, I just, myself, we're going through the same thing in different states where you get reports of all of these atrocities, and yet the people are still asleep.
You're right to preface this by saying just beginning to, I don't know, become aware.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly the right way to preface this, because if we believe in the polls, and for whatever polling is worth, and the surveys and so forth, but throughout the country, different polls and conducted by different polling companies are beginning to converge on results that seem quite a bit similar. And what are those results? That on key topics like illegal immigration, like the squatters, like crime, like, of course, the economy and, you know, down the tubes, and in particular, of course, the border and all the illegals crashing the border. That video film that's been shown over and over and over again for the last few days has got to be having an effect. But the polling is converging on some outcomes. And those outcomes include the fact that, well, number one, former President Donald Trump is leading in every one of the seven key battleground states in a matchup 1-1 against President Biden. But on issues, breaking it down more specifically, on the issues we've just mentioned, in each of these areas, Donald Trump leads among those surveyed against President Joe Biden. But moreover, when they break those results down demographically, and they divide the results of the surveys into demographic groups like Hispanics, like African Americans, like suburban women, like high school graduates, like not high school graduates, like all these different young people, all these different categories of demographics, they're swinging. Every one of those that formerly was pretty much a solid, you know, you can count on them demographics for the Democrats and for Joe Biden, now starting to swing over. And the percentage points of the swing are becoming noticeable. So let's just keep an eye on that for, again, whatever we, you know, trust we put into polling. But the fact that they are repeated, they're across the country, different ones, across time, several, you know, different months worth, and the trends, and the lineup among them.
And for those people who want that to all be a reality in November, I'll tell you what, the one thing that we have to stop doing, I mean, there's lots of things we need to start doing, but the one thing we have to stop doing is this constant drumbeat on the whole voter fraud thing. Not that it isn't happening. Not that it hasn't happened over time. The problem is your rank and file voter, when they are bludgeoned with voter fraud, voter fraud, voter fraud, and no reminder that, hey, it still matters that you vote, what happens is people just don't go to the polls, which is why we still have Gavin Newsom here. People signed the recall petition, and then when it qualified and made it to the ballot, which was like, I'm sorry, I can't be the only one. I thought, holy crap, it's a miracle. You know, they actually qualified the signatures and they weren't able to fake that and all. Okay, so they get it to the ballot, and then hundreds of thousands of Republicans in California did not cast a ballot. They didn't have their vote stolen. They didn't vote. And he's still the governor. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, you know, then they deserve what they get.
And people said, well, it didn't matter. They were going to cheat. I'm like, really?
No, it does matter.
So you just rolled over and gave it to him? Like, make him cheat.
And, you know, forget about the beach for the moment and all, you know, California lifestyle. Forget all that. Just
we don't have a beach here.
And do go vote. But here's one other encouragement, perhaps, for those who are registered as Republicans, and that is the new leadership at the top of the Republican GOP. Now with Ronna McDaniel out and in a new team that includes as the deputy head of the Republican GOP, daughter-in-law of former President Trump, Ivanka Trump.
I think the RNC is in a good place. And you know, when you know, the other thing too is because I take phone calls on this a lot, and the Republicans need to. And I think people forget there is no the Republicans. You know, it's like Republicans in Montana might view things differently than Republicans in Ohio, than Florida, than, I mean, it all depends on kind of where you are. There is no, like, the Republicans. People who have registered to vote a certain way don't wake up in the morning and, you know, install some kind of chip where they communicate with their supreme leader. Like, it's just not a thing.
You know, but the fact that some of these key top issues, like illegal aliens, open southern borders,
yes,
crime, the economy, because those issues are now sweeping across all 50 of the United States, there is a commonality to the response to them now that I see emerging.
No, you're totally right. I don't mean that people don't care about it, but what I mean is there's no switch to flip that is, you know, quote, the Republicans. And honestly, we got, again, back to the voters. Like in California, the reason they can run into a store and steal $950 and that is considered a misdemeanor is because voters approved that. That Prop 47 is up for referendum in California. And if you live in this state, I realize people listen from all over the place, but if you live in California and you have not signed the initiative and you are not running around and gathering signatures for that, you can get them from your district attorney's office. I can tell you that without fail. Go to your DA's office in any county of the 58 counties in California. Get a copy of that and go get 6 signatures. Make that your mission. And let's repeal that so that crime is crime again. And that doesn't seem like a heavy lift.
No, but all I can say is if you are among those Californians who have neglected to vote, have neglected to become civically engaged in the process.
You are the problem.
Please, please stay in California.
Yes, please. Yeah, please don't move. Hey, so we're going to come right back with Claire and Lyle. We're going to let them get some coffee. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. And you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Let me know you're here. Because my TV set just keeps in.